A homily for the fifth Sunday of Lent. For all of us, death is life's final bastion. For those of us who are young or perhaps haven't been seriously ill or maybe have yet to experience any serious medical complications, the notion of death and how imminent it can be for every one of us may be something that we never really gave much thought to. But this certainly cannot be the case right now, because there are so many people, both young and old, who are getting sick and dying in so many countries with the plague of the coronavirus pandemic. Well, it certainly drives home the point that death is unconquerable, no matter how strong we are. The fact is that there really is no escaping death. It may be that we won't get sick or even die by the virus, but there will come a time, definitely, when it is our turn to have a funeral mass or service celebrated with our stiffened bodies in that casket placed before the sanctuary in a church. However, there are a few ways that we can approach death, and the worst thing that we can do is to be in denial of it. The Christian believes that there is more to come after life. This life, that we are all so familiar with, is only a transit stop, perhaps, before our final destination is reached. If we take into perspective that our souls are made for eternity, and as the psalmist in Psalm 90 says, that our lives are 70 years or 80 if we are strong, then this life that we have on this earth is but a twinkle of an eye. This life is thus not what we are ultimately made for, but we all share a call to live it out in the most Christ-like way possible for the glory of God, for the benefit of one another, and in that way, for our own good as well. What does the church teach us about life eternal? Well, let's get it clear from the start that Christianity doesn't believe in some recycling program where we come back in this world again in another form if we hadn't lived this life as human beings well. We do not believe that that cockroach that you have just crushed or stepped on could have been someone who lived a very selfish or maybe even nefarious life before as a human being. No, we have just one shot, and we can't afford to mess it up. Neither do we believe that we just become one with nature or one with the universe and somehow become absorbed by it when we die. Christianity's teaching is that God is our loving Father. And this gives us Christians great hope, because it is the Father's greatest desire that He have an eternal union with us, in a state beyond this life and for eternity. In our Lenten Gospels in the past 3 weeks, we were asked to see ourselves and our lives in the light of the three situations that the people in John's Gospels found themselves in. 2 weeks ago, we met the woman at the well. Last week, we encountered the man born blind. Again, I stress that these people are not to be seen as isolated, individual, random individuals whose stories of lives are unconnected with ours. They are meant to be icons or metaphors or motifs for every single one of us in our spiritual lives. We are also, therefore, that woman who was thirsty in life but for the wrong water. We are that man born blind who in life find ourselves, because of sin, unable to see the light of truth clearly, stumbling, as it were, in life, when we should be walking with confidence. Today, we see Lazarus. Again, we see ourselves in him because if we are mired in sin, especially if it has been for a long time, habitually perhaps, then we are as good as corpses in tombs, having had our life sucked out from us. Some of us are so used to sin, so steeped in it, that we cannot find a way to even name the sin or to be able to see just how destructive our sin has been to our lives and to those who live with us and those who we are called to love the most. We can find ourselves much like Lazarus then, not only in tombs that have a stone rolled over its entrance, But we are also somehow like him, bound with bands of stuff, we are told, and unable to move. Terrible and serious sin does that to a person. It cuts us off from God and also from one another in the community. It binds us. It prevents us from making great strides forward in our spiritual life. And as a result, we cannot grow and are unable to mature as children of God. Make no mistake about it. Sin kills us. Our fight against sin may be something that we think isn't real or is just imaginary. Well, it isn't. It is as real as our current fight against the coronavirus. And the moment we become complacent, or the moment we take things for granted and are not vigilant, there is such a great chance for us to be infected. This same vigilance needs to be kept in our battle against the forces of evil and sin. But there are many people who seem to be in denial about the threat of death and think that they are somehow impervious to death. There have been media clips and reports of young and even not so young people cavorting and mingling in groups in public when they have been told to stay at home by law in their countries, and some of them believe that they will not get the virus, with an attitude perhaps of complacency and even arrogance. The truth is that none of us is impervious to sin, and none of us therefore is impervious to death. We cannot afford to be in denial about the reality of death. The longer we are in denial about it, the more we may be steeped in sin and think, erroneously of course, that we are too deep in it, we are too mired in it, and therefore too ashamed to seek God's help to return to Him and seek His grace and forgiveness. We may not be dead, but in some ways, we may be a bit like Lazarus, spending 4 days in the tomb. 4 is, for the Jews, a number that signals a long time. 40 days Jesus spent in the desert. Moses lived in Egypt for 40 years before he led the Hebrew people in an exodus out of Egypt that lasted 40 years. Therefore, it is not a throwaway phrase to say that Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. If we are in serious sin and have denied our need for conversion and repentance, it may even be longer than 4 days for us. But here is where there is hope for those of us who are in some way dead like Lazarus. Jesus loves each one of us like the way he loved Lazarus. See how tenderly Jesus weeps for him, realizing that he was dead. It is a revelation that God weeps when we sin because sin has caused us to die. See in this very human action that Jesus too weeps for us if we are unable or unwilling to admit of our need for a life of grace and to come to that turnaround in life. There could well be someone listening to this homily right now who truly needs to hear Jesus saying to him or her, like he did to Lazarus, standing at the door of the tomb, "Come forth." That is Jesus, the Word of life, the Word who is life, asking you to dare to trust in his mercy and live life that is no longer having you bound so tightly in a dark and dank tomb. That sin that has been clinging to you and depriving you of light and life doesn't have more power over you than does God's mercy and forgiveness. Jesus wants to shine his life-giving light into the dark recesses of your heart. While the devil saps life out of you, God is the true giver of life, and he wants you to be unbound like the way Lazarus had to be helped to be untied by the community around him as he stumbled from the darkness of the tomb into the light outside. Jesus fulfills Ezekiel's prophecy when he said that the people who have lost all hope would find new life. Ezekiel wrote that 620 years before the arrival of Jesus, and Jesus, therefore, is his prophecy fulfilled. When St. Paul wrote to the Romans, he was encouraging them to be interested in spiritual things, and as they do so, become enabled to live lives that are filled with the Spirit of God, showing that they truly belong to God. This is still the clarion call that goes out to each baptized Christian, regardless of how bound we may be, how tangled we may be in sin. Jesus, the Word made flesh, called out to Lazarus to come forth. He calls us just as clearly and passionately this week. He calls us just as clearly in this time of the plague of the coronavirus. Let us open our ears once again and hear his life-giving call to life anew once again in these remaining days of Lent. God love you.